Father, Lord, we thank you this day, Lord God. We thank you for your word, which endures forever, Father. Lord, we just pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit just minister to each one of us, Lord God, as we share together, Father. Lord God, just your presence, let your presence abound and your love abound as well. As we sang, Lord, your love is like the wildest ocean, Lord God. Let nothing stop it permeating through, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Yes, hallelujah. Oh, hold on. We have a technical difficulty. Okay. All right. Are we in the middle now? Do I have to get my laser-guided measuring? All right. Praise God. You know, actually, I was struggling today. Oh, struggling is not really the right word. But sometimes, you know, when I'm asked to preach, I try to think of a title for my messages, and I really find it hard to find a title because God doesn't give me a title quite often enough, or I don't get a sense of a title. He gives me perhaps a scripture or a particular word to expound, and I can't find a title to describe it. So I actually titled it probably incorrectly, so I'm going to change the title, and I'm going to title it as basically just Roots. It's so easy to remember, isn't it, Roots? But first scripture I'd like to just share today is from Romans chapter 1, verse 20. It should be up on the screen. Oh, by the way, too, if you were handed this morning a summary, yes, like Hans got a summary, just ignore it. Well, don't ignore it. That's not the right term. But I'm not that's Pastor Chris's summary from a while back. So it's not mine. So you can put it away, read it later. Definitely don't ignore it. But you can just save it for another time. But I'll just read here from verse 20. It says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." I do love this scripture, or that passage, because it affirms in my heart that, you know, we have the word of God, we have the written word, the logos, you know, the written word that endures forever. But we also have God's creation, his nature, that is really, again, it's just like a trumpet that sounds and sings of God's creativeness, his love, his attention to detail. But also, too, he like teaches us things through nature. And it just so happens that there is such an occasion which I just had a sense during the week that God used to sort of encourage me to share what I'm going to share this morning. And I'll start with a little story. And basically, at the front of our house, near our driveway, we have this magnificent, or we had, actually, this magnificent standard rose bush. Now, this rose bush was given to us as a gift from one of Catherine's friends from high school. And it started off as like a little standard rose, but it was very beautiful then. But we've had it for like 20 years and it just grew. It had a big, strong trunk. It had beautiful foliage. Maybe if we go to the next slide, Caleb, there. Okay, we'll go back to that one. Go forward again. See, that's what it looks like. It was beautiful rose bush, you know. And sadly, as you can see there, it's not where it's meant to be. with all the wind that came, it fell, right? And really, you know, it is heartbreaking to have a beautiful rose bush like that come down. And in fact, when I came back from picking up my children from the youth of, no, when was it? Friday night. It wasn't the youth event, it was something else. Anyway, when I came back home, it was down. So it was very, very sad. So I thought, oh, Saturday I've got to prepare a sermon and I've got to try and save this bush as well. So I had all these things to do. But then, you know what, if I woke up in the morning, you know, stayed in bed a little while, just sort of, you know, geeing myself up to take care of this bush. If you go back a slide, Caleb. Okay, I had a bit of a look at the root system on this thing. And as you can see, yeah, it's kind of, A, it's shallow, and B, there's not too many big root stems to really hold it in place. So no wonder with such beautiful foliage, actually, at the time, I called it plumage. And you'll see on the top, and plumage is not the right word. Plumage is like feathers of a bird, like a peacock. But to me, that's what the bush looked like, you know. It had this beautiful foliage on it. But the root system, and you can see the trunk, it's thick, like it's like that. But the roots underneath are A, they are shallow, and B, there wasn't too many strong roots digging deep into the ground to hold it into position. So, of course, when the strong wind came with all that plumage, it carried it down, unfortunately, very sadly for us. Next scripture I'd like to look at is from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 4. Okay. Now, here is a good example, actually. You know, in the scripture, there's many references to trees and roots and the like. And, you know, God has used trees as a great analogy for many things. But in particular, our strength, the strength of faith in our lives, as well as effectiveness in our ministry. There's often analogies that are brought forward in Scripture about the importance of having strong roots, but also to roots that dig in deep. So I'm going to explore that mostly today. But funnily enough, as I was preparing this message, I just had a sense from God to share this Scripture, which has nothing to do with roots, but is also a part of God's way of speaking to us through the use of trees as an analogy. So I'll read the scripture. It's from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 4, and it says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." So that was John chapter 15, verses 1 to 4. Now, I actually wasn't quite sure why I had this strong sense to present this scripture until actually I heard Pastor Chris's word that he brought forward this morning, and then it sort of became more clear. And there's another scripture that I'd like to sort of just mention in conjunction to this one, and that is the scripture, actually, because it sort of just came to me, I just grabbed it up on my phone. So I'll read it to you. And it's from James chapter 2, verse 17. And it says, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accomplished by actions, is dead." Okay, so I'll read that again, James 2, 17. "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." So what I can see here is that there are two aspects to our life, our journey in Christ. One is our faith and one is our actions. Okay, so now when I heard Pastor Chris's word, what I was seeing there was the desire to action, to do something, to get involved. But because God wasn't in it, it was for nothing. It was just creating issues, obstacles, problems, difficulties. But perhaps the desire, the heart was in the right place, but God wasn't there. There's something that needed to be pruned, right? So in order to be effective, now, one of the things in management, like I'm a manager in an IT company, and one of the big key buzzwords is effectiveness. You know, a lot of things are talked about: employee satisfaction, happiness, all of that. Really, from a management perspective, is irrelevant. What's relevant to any business is effectiveness. Effectiveness of the employee, effectiveness of the business. And then from there, everything else kind of falls into place. If people are feeling purposeful and effective in what they're doing, then they'll be happy because there's that joy that comes from being effective. And it's the same in ministry. It's the same in our journey in Christ. It's effectiveness, knowing that what we are doing has a positive effect in the kingdom of God, brings us joy because we're being effective. So pushing and actioning without God in it, not producing fruit or not producing effectiveness, actually is very discouraging. And so here, when I go back to this scripture about the vine and God pruning the branches, really, the way I see it in terms of a personal perspective is that God is pruning those less effective areas of our life. And we need, and sometimes we think, you know, sometimes our reaction is when we're not effective is just to dump it or just to drop what we're doing and maybe look at somewhere else. But I don't necessarily think that is also the way to go. The first step, if we're in ministry and we're finding we're not effective, is just to seek God, you know, and seek God for, you know, okay, I don't feel I'm effective here. Am I doing it according to your plan or am I doing it under my own strength? Do I need a must, you know, am I doing it faithfully? Why am I not? You know, ask God the questions and he will generally give you the answers that you seek if you do it with the right heart. He will lead you because quite often you might be involved in an area of ministry or in some way and you're not being affected, but someone else is who God wants to do in that. And maybe you just got to hold the position until that person is identified and can walk in it, and then you can let it go. Sometimes dropping a ministry is not the way to go. Sometimes you've got to hold position until God brings someone there. Sometimes God will say, well, you just need to cut it off, and then maybe that ministry does have to go. There's no right or wrong answer. Well, there is a right or wrong answer, but not every case is the same, is what I'm saying. Okay, look, that was a bit of a diversion. Because that just sort of, I don't know, matured, that message kind of matured in my heart this morning, actually. I just had the scripture, but I didn't quite sure what context the Lord wanted me to bring it, but I just got that sense. Okay, so let's go back to roots, because roots are important. So let's have a look at Mark chapter 4, verses 16 to 17. Okay, so it says, others like seed on rocky places. So this is about the parable of the sower. I've just got a bit of it. I just extracted that out just for the purpose of this scripture, for this message. Others like seed sown on rocky places hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Now, this tree, as I said, it lasted 20 years in that position, but its roots were not deep. Its roots were shallow. But it still had lasted, fortunately for me. But the principle here is saying that if we are just shallow in our experience and relationship and depth of knowledge and understanding of who God is, if we're just shallow in that. So, for instance, if we don't approach our journey in Christ, our relationship with God wholeheartedly, if we just make do, then our root system is shallow. We're not pressing in and getting deep into the things of God. Then when persecution comes, when difficulties approach, we find that we lose faith very quickly. When the winds blow, like in this analogy, it's difficult to stand firm because you haven't established the root system of where you grab the nourishment, the nutrients of the Word of God, of the relationship we have in Christ, fellowship with one another, those things that provide us with encouragement and support in our Christian walk are not established. And so when things come our way to and make life difficult and obstacles come, the reality is we may then question. we may then question our identity in Christ, and we may wither and we may fall away. And many people have sadly done that because of their lack of strength in their relationship with the Lord, or in their knowledge of the Word, or their understanding of other world views and how they impinge and impinge on our own, but at the same time understand our own worldview of who we are, our identity, and how important it is that we stand firm in that because of who God is, and the fact that we have an answer for every question that comes our way. And in fact, we are encouraged to have an answer. You know, Paul says, have an answer for your faith, because we are going to get questioned, we are going to get challenged. And if we do not have answers for our identity, for who we are in Christ, then we will struggle to be able to buffet those challenges that come our way. So having a deep root system, not a shallow one, is very important. And one of the ways we can do that if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, another important scripture, is to keep every thought captive, because what tends to happen is that we can become distracted so much, particularly, you know, and look, even in Paul's time, there was many distractions. You know, in Jesus' time, there were many distractions. There was different doctrines around the place. There was the still, like today, you know, there was the distraction of trying to gain wealth, and Jesus talked about wealth being a distraction from the things of God. Today, there are other many distractions. There's, you know, entertainment, and, you know, I've spoken about distractions before, but so important it is, if we want to build a deep root system in God, then we need to hold every thought captive. We need to make sure that if we are, if there's thoughts that come into our mind, if there's desires that come into our heart that are not aligned with the Lord, then we need to arrest those things and keep them captive. So if we have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." And here again, you know, we see just Paul speaking, saying that, you know, we are going to be challenged. We are going to be challenged by the world. There are ideologies, there are concepts, there are worldviews out there that want to tear down who Christ is. You know, it's the work of the enemy. The desire of the world is to tear down who Christ is and to discourage us. But as Paul encourages us here, that we need to captivate those thoughts and not allow them to corrupt our thinking, and just submit ourselves in obedience to the Lord, to Christ himself. You know, and sometimes it can be difficult, because at the end of the day, if we try and do this in our own strength, it is very difficult. You know, we do need the help of the Holy Spirit to hold every thought captive, because it's a spiritual battle that we're fighting. It's not a battle of flesh and blood, as we know. But one good example of holding every thought captive is, you know, we're now coming into the VCE exam period, right? We've got RJ doing VCE exams. I've got my son Zachary also doing VCE exams. He's already done his English exam and one of his maths exams, so he's right in the middle of it all. And for every student, in order to effectively study, and there's the word effective again, to effectively study, they have to hold their thoughts captive and not allow themselves to be distracted. And, you know, it's funny, an ongoing joke sometimes, I might walk into one of my children's rooms and I'll see them, you know, and I know they should be studying, and I'll see them that perhaps doing something a little different to what I'm expecting, and I'll say, "Oh, you know, are you meant to be studying?" And quite often the answer I'll get is, "I'm on a break." "I'm on a break." I say, "Oh, okay, well, how long is this break meant to last?" And, you know, they'll say, oh, you know, I'll be back to studying in a few minutes. So, okay. So I walk back in, you know, maybe 20 minutes later, and I'll ask the same question. Oh, I'm on a break. So anyway, I don't mean to stir them up too much today. I'm trying to be good. But, you know, it's difficult to keep your thought captive and to focus and concentrate. But you know what? I find when I'm working, because I work at a computer, and sometimes, like everyone else, I sometimes have difficulty focusing on something for an extended period of time. But the wonderful thing is that when you discipline yourself to focus on something, you only need to apply that strong discipline for the first few minutes of what you want to do, and then somehow your mind clicks into this gear. I don't know how things work, but hey, it happens for me. And then I can just focus on that for the next, you know, until it's completed. I generally can do that. And I'm sure I'm not alone in being able to do that. But we struggle sometimes when we're applying ourselves to the things of God to get started. But once we get started, the Lord can take over. The Holy Spirit can take over. You know, it becomes less difficult because we've captivated our thoughts. We captivate it and then we can move. And sometimes we've got to do that, you know. If we're trying to get into a consistent prayer life, it takes captivation of your thought, a bit of movement to get into that quiet place, get started, and bang, we can do it. Coming here to on the Friday nights, prayer services, prayer times, you know, at 8 p.m., it's the same thing. You've got to get up. You know, got to halt, keep your thoughts captive, get yourself to grow church, come in, be here at 8 o'clock. But once you're here and you're in the presence of God and you're in the fellowship of one another, you start praying, it just happens. And you're so grateful that you actually came. You know, you don't go away thinking, oh, I wish I didn't go. I mean, whoever does that, whoever comes to a prayer meeting and then, you know, gets into that time of prayer and presence of God, and then at the end of it say, oh, I wish I didn't come to that. I don't think anyone says that. I think everyone really enjoys the fact that they came. It's just something, God does something in our hearts and just brings us joy just by fellowshipping with Him and with one another. Yeah, I digress. All right, multiple strong roots. Now, this is actually the sense that I got when I looked at this. Can we bring up that roots again, please, Caleb, that picture of the roots? When I looked at this, actually, I should have taken a photo of it when it was still just at its place but keeled over. It would have been a better photo, but this is all right. It's when I looked at this and I stared at it for like 2 minutes, just like that, you know, and then God just hit me with something. And he said, well, I sensed, he said to me, you see, Noel, that there was only two or three roots, big roots, in there. That's why it fell, because it didn't have strong multiple roots. And I sort of mulled over that for a little while, and I sort of began to understand what I felt the Lord was sort of speaking to me about. So let's have a look at Colossians 2:7-9. Okay, have your roots planted deep in Christ. And I like the word roots. I want to emphasize that. Grow in Him. Get your strength from Him. Let Him make you strong in the faith as you have been taught. Your life should be full of thanks to Him. Be careful that no one changes your mind and faith by much learning and big sounding ideas. Don't get distracted by rubbish. All right? Those things are what men dream up. They are always trying to make new religions. And don't we see that today? You know? These leave out Christ. For Christ is not only God-like, He is God in human flesh. And I always remember that point whenever I pray. When I always bring back to the fact that Christ and God are one, that Christ is God in flesh who came down because He loves us so much. He wanted to make a way for us to be able to be saved from the sin that we find ourselves in. He is a wonderful God. All right, so I want to emphasize the word roots here. And it's important that we don't rely on one experience. Sometimes when we come to the Lord, the word describes us as being babies. It's like the scales fall off our eyes. The reality of life, the reality of the purpose of life, the reality of God, the reality of how much He loves us, finally we are exposed to that. We learn of it. We are made aware of all of this wonderful reality of who God is. We're no longer living in this false reality that we had found ourselves into, because we're denying the fact that we're sinners and trying to make up things as we go along and try and search for ways to find purpose but still be in our sin. We become free from that, and we find ourselves totally exposed to God, but with a way out, with a way to freedom. And we can sometimes find ourselves, several years later, still holding on to that one experience for our faith. But because time has passed and we've sort of had to endure some troubles and difficulties, we may tend to begin to waver a little bit in our faith and just start to wonder, was it all real, And I think this is where the scripture talks about having roots. We need to progress. We can't just live on an experience that we had, years ago. We need to start to dig deep into our faith. We need to start to partake on the journey. I've often heard about our life in Christ being a journey, that the journey is it's not just about the destination. It's also about the journey. It's about learning more about God, having a relationship with Him, understanding His word, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, following the commands that Christ gives us in the Word, discipleship and evangelism and these things, getting involved and serving in the life of the church, fellowshipping with one another. All these things help build our faith. Of course, digging into the Word of God, doing courses when they're available, praying together, things like this. This is all about building multiple root systems and digging in deep into the things of God. And sometimes we miss out on it. And so when we just have one or two roots going in and something strong comes against us, we find it hard to hold on. But when we've sprouted all these roots into the ground, we can hold firm when things are strong. I know that there are people in this church who have endured such difficulties, such trials, such issues with their family and in their personal life, but they hold strong because they've got multiple roots going down. And I thank God for people like that in our church, because they encourage me and they encourage my family, and I'm sure each one of us are encouraged when we hear testimonies of those who have gone through such struggle and turmoil but hold firm because they have roots going down, multiple roots, and they're going down deep. Can we look at the next slide? So I've just sort of thought about a few ways we can build our strong multiple roots into the ground, into the things of God. And I've already mentioned a few of these already, but I'll just quickly go through them. So fellowship with one another, fellowship with the saints. It's important to have friends outside the church, because that's our mission field. And, our relationship with them is a testimony to them. And when we are able to share the gospel with them, that's a blessing where we are being to them, to be able to hear the word of God. But we also got to fellowship one another, because we encourage one another. Things like going to grow group, sharing testimony, sharing a meal, things like that. It's all very important, because that's building that relationship which is important in terms of encouragement. And we can be a blessing to one another. Study and meditation on the word, of course, very important. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. The Bible says this, you know. And we come to faith. We come to know Christ through the word of God. I mean, without the scriptures, how can we know who Christ is? God's passionate love for us. How can we know this? But it's important to keep on digging into the word of God, because there's so much that God reveals of himself through that. Sharing our testimony with one another, knowing who we are, where we came from, the point of our salvation, and then the joy that the Lord has brought us after that, you know. Knowing that, being comfortable with that, understanding that, and being able to share that is, again, digging some roots in. Praying for the sick. You know, I've had the privilege of praying for the sick and being told afterwards that, you know, they've been healed. I too have been prayed for and have been healed. You know, I've shared before, I had a knee that was driving me insane because I couldn't run, I couldn't play tennis, which I, you know, enjoy doing. But then I had the youth prayed for my knee, and praise God, you know, it's all good. The need of others, meeting the needs of others and having our own needs met, I think is what I was meant to write there. So meeting the needs of others, you know, having a giving heart, you know, being a blessing to one another. But also to receiving, you know, allowing people to bless us in return as well when they want to bless us is also, sometimes it's harder. But that's something that I think we need to sort of, it's actually very humbling to receive a blessing from someone else. And it teaches us something too to do that. But we also need to give. Learning to defend the faith from other worldviews. You know, the Christian worldview is defendable. There is no Achilles heel to it. You know, every piece of evidence that's out there can be explained with the Christian worldview. I graduated a scientist. I went through lectures of from professors and so forth who held opposing worldviews. You know, I heard them. To me, they weren't convincing. But I look at the Christian worldview and I can see it's absolutely defendable. And you can learn to defend it. All you need to do is find, you know, there's a few good resources that that are easily accessible on the internet that you can use to help teach you how to defend the Christian worldview and to build roots into the ground as well in your own faith. Spending time in relationship with the Father, just as Jesus encourages us to do. So we need to fellowship with the Lord as well, you know, have our own time in prayer, praying together as well, all very important. Serving in the life of the church, I think, you know, this is key as well. Being a servant, having a heart to serve in the life of the church, you know. The church is not something that's man-made. We may think it's man-made. It's not. Christ instituted the church so that, you know, we can all fellowship together, we can encourage one another, we can learn together, but we can also serve together, and we can evangelize together. You know, we can strategize together, we can seek the Lord together for things, and how we can more effectively evangelize out in the world around us. We can be a blessing to the world through the church. Discover and outwork God's call on your life. You know, all of us have a purpose. You know, when God called your name and you responded and you received Christ, your purpose, your heart. You know, at that point, he planted a purpose for you. Discover that purpose and outwork it. You know, build roots into the ground. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, when Jesus left, he said, I'm going to send one who will be the comforter. I will send the Holy Spirit to you. You know, he did not leave us alone. The Holy Spirit desires to fellowship with us, but we have to allow him. We have to open ourselves up to him. As I've heard described many times before, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to force himself upon you. We need to desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and allow him to be part of our life. And seek and outwork the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So there are wonderful gifts that the Holy Spirit brings that allows us that empowers our ministry, but also too empowers our relationship with God. You know, like for instance, praying in tongues, beautiful way. It builds up the spirit. The Word says, you know, and you know, He desires to just make us more like Christ and to be more effective in our ministry, so that as many people as can be saved. I don't think I quite phrased that correctly, but you know what I mean. All right, praise God. Well, you know, before I close, I would just like to bring out an invitation. You know, if you would like prayer this morning, I was going to say this afternoon. I'm sort of thinking in reverse. Most people go to Digger's Rest. They say this morning. I'm sort of thinking Digger's Rest now and saying this afternoon. But this morning, you know, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to give Him an opportunity to make a change in your life, then I invite you, as the music team play, just to come forward, and I would love to pray with you and to lead you to our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Also, too, if you'd like prayer for any other purpose, any other reason, if you want to dig deeper roots, you know, we can pray together. If you're going through trials, difficulties, then you know, I'm happy to pray with you through that as well. Let's all pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for all of who you are, all that you've done in our lives, Lord God, that you don't leave us alone, Father, that you love us so much, that you are glorious, Lord God. And Lord, I just thank you for the analogy that you give us in just a simple thing of creation, the tree, Lord, that you've created this wonderful thing. And from it, we can learn so much, Lord God. And your word teaches us so much and uses trees to describe our relationship with you, Lord God, but also too effectiveness in our ministry as well, Father. So, Lord God, I just thank you for all that you've done, all that you continue to do, Lord. We just ask for your blessing upon us now in Jesus' name. Amen.